Books of the Bible. 2 Corinthians is Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, written about 1 year later. Since Paul had last written, some false apostles had snuck in and began to question Paul's authority. There are many who claim authority in the church, but those called by Christ will bear the marks of Christ, which are humility and reliance upon Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Merry Christmas to me! This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, why didn't you tell me that my thing, the deal, where you put the video clips?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to get all technical on you, but whatever that thing is, why didn't you tell me there was so much good stuff in there?
Well, because so it could be a surprise.
I see.
Yeah, and it's a folder.
I'm sorry?
It's a folder on your computer.
You know, that's a big word, Jimmy. And I've been watching some pastors who think that everybody in their pews are dumb. So I don't like to use anything more than a monosyllabic word. Oops, monosyllabic word is more than one mono. So I'd folder. It's two syllables. And that's just too much for people to take. And certainly not if we talk about it for more than 20 minutes. They just can't. That is so offensive. That is just so offensive. This assumption that so many of these popular pastors have, that you got to keep it simple, you got to keep it stupid. I'm sorry. I reject. You know when I learned that years ago? I don't know that I've shared this story. If I have, it hasn't been for years. That it was in Minneapolis. I was invited to speak at a middle school. And I was just such a pompous jerk, even as a believer, still am. But I thought, well, what am I going to say to middle school kids? They can't possibly understand the deep things that I know. And somebody kind of gave me an oral slap. Dude, you're going to be surprised. It isn't about what they can handle. It's whether or not you deliver it in a way that they believe is genuine and authentic. So I went and I spoke. What is 7th, 8th grade? That's like 13, 14, something in that neighborhood. They ain't stupid. Lesson learned. And so what I realized is that it's not about what people can handle. It's about upping your game. Bring it in a way that demonstrates this stuff is relevant. This stuff is glorious, and it doesn't need to be dumbed down. Of course, you need to be aware of where your audience is at, and you need to increase the amount of protein that you put into every sermon. But the point is the same. You don't have to dumb everything down because people ain't dumb. So I found these files in a folder, which Jimmy prepared. Now, this is old, but I haven't heard it. And I do believe that it actually, believe it or not, it might actually be a decent segue from what we just heard from Ray Comfort to Ben Shapiro eulogizing John MacArthur. And I've got a feeling that Ben is going to talk about his experiencing that John MacArthur was earnest about sharing what he believed. Well, he might not use the language we would, you know, sharing the gospel, etc. But I've got a hunch he's going to be talking about John MacArthur. You knew he was earnest, and you knew that he cared about where I would spend eternity. Want to bet?
Well, I want to start today by offering condolences to the family and all of the followers of John MacArthur, the Southern California preacher, and someone who I'd venture to say was a friend of mine. John MacArthur was on the show twice at length, an amazing human being. Of course, he had millions and millions of followers in the Christian community. Christianity Today has a lengthy obituary for John MacArthur, who passed away.
Christianity Today actually put John MacArthur's name in their pages.
Yesterday afternoon, they say expository preacher John MacArthur, who taught scripture to millions through taped sermons, radio broadcasts, Bible commentaries, and a best-selling study Bible, died Monday at the age of 86. MacArthur said the most important mark of his ministry was that he explained the Bible with the Bible, not cluttering up sermons with personal stories, commentary on current events, or appeals to emotion, but teaching timeless truth. The longtime pastor of Grace Community Church said a good sermon should still be good 50 years after it is preached. He said, it isn't time stamped by any kind of cultural events or personal events. It's not about me. And it transcends it, not only time, but it transcends culture. He published the MacArthur Study Bible in 1997. It has 20,000 notes on specific verses, as well as an index of important doctrines, introductions to each book of the Bible, and suggested Bible reading plans. It sold 2 million copies over the course of a couple of decades. He also has a New Testament commentary, which sold more than 1 million copies as well.
That's a lot of books. That's a lot of impact. Okay, come on, get to it, Ben.
MacArthur, of all the people that I know in this sphere, I know quite a few.
Now, I think he's not reading anymore. Clearly, Ben was just rattling off whatever it said in front of him on his computer screen. Now, I think he might be speaking from the heart. Come on, Ben, don't let me down.
Was absolutely staunch in his defense of the Bible. He is somebody who certainly never shied away from the messages of the New Testament, and somebody who made himself controversial because of that, which I think is quite a good thing. In the first interview that I did with him, a lengthy interview, he spent fully 30 minutes of the interview talking to me about why I ought to convert to Christianity.
There it is. Do you know why he was able to do that? Because that's what he wanted to do. He entered that arena with Ben because he wanted Ben to hear the gospel, and he knew that there would be a few people that were eavesdropping on the conversation and that they would hear the gospel. Jimmy, I think the segue has been completed.
I think so.
You just have to be intentional. And now, what happens if you don't get the... It just can't happen. All right. Well, if you're actually genuinely trying and there is an opportunity, but somehow the door closes, the bus arrives at the stop, whatever it is, and you don't, you can trust your Lord. And as long as you... Lord, I want to be faithful to you. That didn't happen. Bummer, give me another chance at this. You can live and rest in that. But most of the time, you can get there if you want to.
And as a Jew, I will say that not only do I not find that insulting, I find that absolutely useful. Why? Because he is saying the thing that he believed. And I think that that is a good thing. And the reason I considered him a friend is because he's somebody who cared about my eternal soul. We could have disagreements on what would happen, with regard to heaven or hell, or whether the New Testament was truth or not truth, depending on whether you're a Christian or a Jew. But I was never upset by the fact that he believed that I ought to convert to Christianity, because of course, many Christians believe that I ought to convert
to
Christianity.
Yes, we do.
It's not an insult. That's because somebody cares for my spiritual welfare, and we disagree about how best to attain that spiritual welfare.
Glad that he sees it that way, because not many people do, quite honestly. A lot of people just think, oh, you're being mean, you're imposing our values, which, by the way, that is something that you should be prepared to speak about to somebody, especially these days. Gen Zers are going to ask that question. They think that Christianity is both oppressive and repressive. It keeps you from having fun. Are you equipped to explain that? Might I suggest to you that there is a magnificent way to respond to that accusation? Because there's a lot of ways you can speak to the individual who's saying, well, Christianity, it's just, it's a bunch of rules and they just want to rob us of fun. I think there's a positive way to respond to that. And the positive way, in my estimation, is the way that I think increasingly we should be talking about sin. That sin, there's no question, we need to continue talking about the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death. Damnation, eternal conscious torment. We keep talking about that. But then when we talk about the laws of God, which reveal sin, we've got to ask ourselves the question, what are those laws? What are those? Are they intended to oppress or to force you to repress your inner authentic self? And the answer to that question is no. The laws of God are good. The laws of God are right. And this is a little hard to cut through when somebody is so steeped in postmodernism, but if you can at least share with them, God is a good God, and he doesn't merely give laws to wreck your fun. Sure, his laws will wreck your fun, but only if you think that your fun is the better thing. God's ways are actually better. And I think it's so dumb. You can just paint picture after picture of this truth. You go to the party. Oh, this is going to be fun. And then you get drunk, you maybe do drugs, whatever. You do things that you were desiring to do when you went to the party. Don't deceive yourself. If you go to those types of events, it's probably because you're looking to do what your flesh wants to do. And so you do. How's that next morning? How are you feeling? Did your fun deliver for you? Oh, it was fleeting, just like any object, just like anything that we desire, anything that we worship that isn't godly and good. It's going to disappoint because it's not built for those things. And when we sin, it always leaves us feeling very sour, not to mention guilty and shameful. So God doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want you waking up with a hangover. He wants you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and doing big things for him. That's what he wants for you. He wants better things. That's what the laws of God are. Christianity is not oppressive. Christianity is liberating. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. The only way to actually know what oppression isn't is to be liberated by Jesus Christ. We need to be prepared to respond to that accusation because a lot of students these days are using that to deconstruct. More Christmas presents next on Wretched Radio.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone, and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though. It's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok, your marriage is under attack, and the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Gloss, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily, absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at FortisPlus.org.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace.
The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, a word from Jimmy. That's it. That's what I'm giving him. This is Wretched Radio. Before we open up another Christmas present, make it snappy, Hicks, because we've got Keith Foskey in the queue.
Okay. And that's pretty good, too.
Teaching a Bible study and a prophetess.
Yes.
Or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Confronted him in the Bible study. All right, you wanted to talk about the preachers who dumb stuff down.
Right. So it reminded me of two things as you were talking. One, the guy that discipled me, he would always say that a good and effective preacher is someone who will make truth reachable for his audience, but he will make them stretch to reach it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Little of both.
Right.
Yeah, that's that. No, that's exactly right. And yeah, it's not always easy to do that, but I think each of us have a propensity for one or the other. And right, these days, the trend almost certainly, although it has been abated to a degree because I think people are just weary from it, I think the same attitude that is causing kids on campus to go, what? Okay, we got to figure this ain't working. That has got to start happening soon in seeker-sensitive churches, that these people sit there, thousands of them, and they'd listen to some guy just be a silly peddler of life hacks. When are they going to go, this ain't working? There's got to be more to this thing. And it'll either drive people to Bible-teaching churches or it'll just cause them to drift away from Christianity because they don't know that it is actually deeper than the little puddle that the preacher has been peddling to them. So you got to find it. Right. You got to find it because you can go either way and you want to find that balance. All right, sure. That was one thing you said too.
Oh, yeah. It reminded me of Friday's episode of The Briefing. Al Mohler's The Briefing.
Wait a second. You listen to Al Mohler?
I do listen to Al Mohler. Okay. I know. Call me a heretic. But anyway, he was talking about the dumbing in the beginning of the episode. I think he was referring to an article in a magazine, but he was talking about the dumbing down of America. And he said that he doesn't believe pastors are dumbing things down for their people for the most part. He believes they're actually part of the statistic.
Yeah, they're just delivering what they got.
He talked about people not reading anymore. And he said, I can listen to a preacher and be able to tell if he's a reader or not very quickly.
That's right. Yeah. Because he's got some bigger ideas and probably better articulation to boot. Mm. No, and he's able to color things with richer pastels, I think, than if you're just not reading. Speaking of which, that was my segue. Keith Foskey, did a little present. I think this happened just recently. He was in his church. He's doing a Bible study when he got confronted by, you'll meet her in just a moment. Let's tune in. Keith's video is becoming increasingly popular on the internet machine. A defender of the faith, I got to sit next to him actually at Daytona Beach just a few weeks ago. He was at the conference, the Cornerstone Conference. I missed his preaching. I was so bummed about that. I think I was trying to disciple Phil Johnson. You know, he sometimes needs, you know, well, he just needs some wisdom sometimes. And I miss Keith's preaching, which bummed me out because by all accounts, he's stellar.
The fact that when Peter walks up to that man, he says, silver and gold have I none, but this I give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise and walk. He didn't say, hey, and if you believe enough, you can rise and walk. If you had enough faith, you'd rise and walk.
Question. Just a point. Isn't there more than one way to be healed? Because by his stripes we're healed. The laying on of hands.
And that's a legitimate question.
Right.
And I would say that. In fact, I believe in Isaiah 53, which is the passage you're referring to.
Right.
I do believe that that is referring to our regeneration where we are made new in Christ.
I agree with that. I also think it's, and he would, I think, agree, that ultimately our physical healing for eternity was also provided in the atonement.
And that no matter the physical healing of our body, if we are regenerated or born again,
yep, not yet,
then we have been healed, yep, having been forgiven of all
good
of our
stuff.
Sins. Is that what you're saying?
That's awesome. That is one of the most helpful questions. I got that from Greg Kokel when he was with us just a few weeks ago. Ask qualifying questions. What do you mean by that? What do you mean? What do you, what exactly are you saying? And it forces them to articulate which something that probably isn't all that clear in their mind.
By a stripes we are healed means that she did a work. And in that work, the stripes, the 29 stripes.
Okay, the Bible doesn't say 29 stripes, but continue.
Well, I'm sorry. My uncle worked for Oral Roberts. So he said that there's 29 classifications of diseases.
Oh, boy.
By the stripes of Christ, we are healed. That's a.
By the way, if they were counting, which they weren't because they were Romans, Jewish law restricted it to 40, and they would typically do 39 just to make sure they didn't break the law. Romans, they didn't care how many. The more, the better.
Covenant, right. I mean, there are parts of our covenant that are special, right? The healing.
Yeah, nothing you're saying is right.
Oh, well.
You've said 29 stripes has nothing to do with 29 stripes. You've said that each one of those is a covenant. That's not correct.
No, not each one, but that our covenant right is to be healed.
No, not necessarily.
No, not in our...
No, not yet.
Covenant?
No.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities.
That's the context. I'm sorry. I'll let Keith speak.
And by his stripes we are healed.
I mean, yes, but you're taking that to mean physical healness.
Yes.
And I just told you that when Isaiah is speaking very clearly in the context of
about
Isaiah
sin.
53, he is talking about spiritual regeneration, where the dead man, who is dead in trespass and sin, according to Ephesians chapter 2, uh-huh. is made alive, uh-huh. also according to Ephesians chapter 2. That is the greatest miracle we can receive and the greatest healing we can receive. I have a very good friend. His name is Justin Peters. Uh-huh. Justin Peters has cerebral palsy uh-huh. and was born with this ailment. He is one of the most faithful men that I know, uh-huh. believes, preaches, and teaches the gospel. Uh-huh. And yet he is still dealing with cerebral palsy. He has not been given healing. So either his faith is somehow lacking the promise that you're saying he should have.
I had my brain healed.
Well, amen. Praise the Lord.
So praise God. I was diagnosed incurable in my 30s in a hospital.
Andy, would you give me a bottle of water?
Yeah. Ma'am, I think, you know what? If you want to ask questions or say something, let's go inside and we'll talk together.
No.
This is going to get zesty.
I'm listening to this.
Well, okay, then I'm going to ask you to not disturb it. We got a lot of material to cover.
I didn't think I was disturbing.
And it's online, too.
Okay.
I'll get you water.
Thank you, though. But as I was saying, I would disagree that we are promised physical healing. I'm going to talk about that throughout.
You mean that Jesus Christ did not promise us healing?
Now you're arguing.
No. Make that statement before the Lord.
Jesus Christ did not promise us physical healing in every sense because we're all going to die. And even you, one day, will die.
And Oral Roberts.
We're all going to die in Scripture. Where's the Scripture? That we're all going to die and God did not promise us healing.
You want to know where the Scripture says we're all going to die?
No. Where did that whole Scripture, we are not promised healing because we're all going to die?
Do you know what logic is, ma'am?
Huh?
Do you know what logic is?
I don't think that Christianity is logical all the time.
Well, there's your problem, because we serve a logical God who is not outside of logic, but actually deals with us logically.
You mean to tell me
yep.
that the mind of Christ is logical?
I hope it's not illogical, because I don't serve a God of illogic.
No, I'm not saying he's not logical.
No, you are. You just did. He's not logical, therefore he's illogical.
No, I'm saying God is above our...
Oh, yes.
Simple
He's
mind.
Above what we can think
The mind of Christ is not on a simple plane like ours.
Yes, I agree.
Well, good.
But that doesn't mean that he's illogical. God tells us that water is going to boil at 212 degrees, and it's also going to freeze at 32 degrees, and that doesn't cease to be. God created a world that we can understand, we can even measure and determine certain things based upon his creative...
So you mean your whole congregation is not entitled to the miraculous healing of Jesus Christ, according to the New Testament?
Again, ma'am, as I have said, I believe that God heals, and I believe he heals miraculously. But I do not believe that we command God to heal, neither do I believe that we can expect healing in every single circumstance, because all of us at some point are going to have a disease, an ailment, or a sickness that will cause our death.
Okay,
even
I've
you.
Got permission now to leave after this hypocrisy. Okay.
Well, it's hypocrisy? Are you going to die one day?
No, I've heard enough of your hypocrisy. Thank
are you
me.
Going to die one day?
Judgment!
Yes.
That's a prophet's call.
No, that was a loud woman.
Wow. What did she say? Did you catch that?
Enough of your hypocrisy. Thank
are me. You going to die one day?
Judgment!
Judgment. That was it right there. Judgment.
And then she called herself a prophet.
Oh, is, okay. Sorry. I thought there was, that was the end.
That's a prophet's call.
No, oh, yeah. That was a loud woman.
Thanks for the present, Keith. To be certain, I agree with Keith, the context of Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. In what sense? It's for our transgressions, because the context of Isaiah 53 is that this suffering servant is being led like a lamb to the slaughter. We thought it was for his sins, but it was for our sins. Furthermore, I do believe it is correct to identify Isaiah 53 as a now, not yet. Yes, the atonement does ultimately provide for our physical healing when we are glorified, but not yet, not yet. And the reason that I think that this teaching from this woman is so awful is because of the way that Keith just framed it. If you're getting sick, you know what that means? You don't have enough faith. And that is not only not biblical, that is just downright cruel. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.